we're doing like right now are like the immediate like first steps, and then I'm going to be talking about like after that set up, like the infrastructure set up, like things we can do in the future with the mapping. And so like the first thing is like going into this project thinking about what's like Wikipedia's need for maps, and like right now you see like all of them are like made by hand and they're all very like widely in quality and styles and everything, and if like the data behind the maps gets updated and like somebody has to do it by hand or it gets outdated, and also like thinking about what types of maps like does Wikipedia have or need. And so it's like one day I was like just bored and like I hit the random page button like a lot of times and to figure out what percentage of articles are about places that or like topics that like need maps, and I found like it was like 20% of the articles are just about places and you have all these other like categories. And then, like, in addition to those, like, 20%, there are, like, about 5% that I thought, like, could use, like, thematic maps being, like, the statistical maps that show, like, all the countries and, like, the level of, like, a disease or, like, poverty or, like, per capita income, like, where each of the countries is colored. There's, like, those types of maps. And within the 20% of, like, places, it's about, like, half of them are about like individual towns or cities. So like if you like we now have like 3 million articles, and if you do the math, it's 600,000 articles about places, 300,000 towns, and then a whole lot of like other types of places. And so like the locator maps, like you know this, like they're made like using templates. So it's a very crude way of doing it, but like it's like worked. And then the thematic maps, this is like back like before we started in March. I'm also involved in the editing Wikipedia, and like when I get the time, like I'll like look at the featured article candidates. And so I saw like this article come up about like a species of birds, and the guy who writes wrote this article, like he writes like tons of articles about like birds and is like just really great at doing that. And I thought, like, this article is really great in, like, all ways, except that, like, I scroll down the page here, and, like, you see, like, there's a map here, and, like, I blow it up, and it's really, and he's not a technical guy, so, like, this is the best he could do. He took, like, a CIA political map and drew a line, like, this is where the bird goes in the winter, and it's like I would have liked like for a featured article all aspects, including like the maps, to be like really great, but it's like Wikipedia is not really providing like tools for people like who are not technical to do that. And it's like my background is geography, GIS, and I have like programming skills, so I was like I would like to like develop something like to allow like somebody like him to like make a map. And this sort of like went together with the integrating OpenStreetMap into Wikipedia. So like I combined like with what they were doing. And so it's like the German chapter of the Wikimedia Foundation provided funding to purchase like 3 servers, and Avar will go through this in more detail, but like 3 servers so like we can get mapping infrastructure up and running. And I'll just like very, very briefly like talk about like OpenStreetMap is it's like Wikipedia, but for maps is where like it can accept like user contributions. And like this is like one of mine where I just like ran around with my GPS and collected like the footways, the paths, like parks and things or places of interest, like playgrounds. And then I can go like sit down on my computer, upload the GPS track, and then trace the features into the map. And here you have like what you can do, which this is like more detailed than what Google Maps like provides. And so it's like and being like Wikipedia, the database is free, and like we can use it. So like that's what we're gonna do, is be able to use that for Wikipedia. So, like, what we're doing, like, we're going to have, like, two ways of, like, making maps. Like, one is, like, just static maps, like we have now, but, like, they can be automatically generated on the back end, and they'll just be, like, images like any other images we have now. And then if you click on the maps, like, it'll be interactive, or, like, I mean, not sure, like, how many people know about the Wiki Mini Atlas, but if on English Wikipedia, like, where there's the coordinate, there's, like, a little globe, and if you click on that, there's, like, a little, like, interactive map thing now that's, I mean, it's not, it's, like, good, but it's, like, we're going to try to, like, improve that and, like, have, like, interactivity available. And, like, the static maps are, like, generated on the server side using a library called MapNIC, which can, like, accept, like, all kinds of, like, standard GIS data. And then the interactive maps, like, the it uses, like, tiles behind the behind, like, the interactive maps that are generated also with MapNIC. But then the interactivity is provided by a JavaScript library called OpenLayers. And this also allows you to add overlays, such as, like, the markers for the location maps. And so, like, those are the tools we have. And on the back end, we have a Postgres database, which is a standard GIS, like supports all the standard GIS things. And, but, like, for those, like, 5% of maps that, like, are not location maps, it's the kind of data that OpenStreetMap provides, like streets and, like, buildings and, like, all this, like, human stuff that's, like, there now. That's, like, not, like, necessarily ideal for, like, all the maps, those 5% that are thematic. Or, like, you also have historic maps, like, what was there yesterday or, like, 100 years ago. And OpenStreetMap's, like, really not, like, built, like, to be able to handle that. Like, maybe someday it will be, but, like, not right now. And then you have, like, places, like, up here at the top. This is the McMurdo Dry Valley in Antarctica. And if, like, for one thing, like, OpenStreetMap uses the Mercator projection, which, like severely distorts, like, places, like, when you get to the poles. So, like, that's, like, one reason, like, it would be, like, not appropriate for Antarctica, but also, like, there's, like, no data there. Whereas on the other hand, if you could show a map with, like, a satellite, this is a Landsat image, if you could show a map with that as a backdrop, or like, there's other data out there, I think, in the public domain that we could use to provide, like, a different kind of map that's, like, suitable for a place like that. And then the map on the bottom is an election map of Canada, and this is where you have, like, each of the provinces is colored. You don't care about the streets, but you just want, like, that level of detail, and then have, like, associated with each province, which is a polygon, have, like, some, like, data value, like, or a database table associated with that. And then depending on, like, the value, color each of the areas according to that, and that's called a choropleth map. And, like, OpenStreetMap isn't really, like, suited for that either. Yet, like, the infrastructure we have in place, the Postgres and PostGIS, and the rendering with MapNIC, and there are other tools available that would work with the database, that we could generate some, like, custom maps to cover, like, this need that Wikipedia has. And, like, another thing we could do, and this could be done, like, through, like, the OpenStreetMap. We could, like, change, well, like, on the OpenStreetMap site, like, they have one way of rendering, but, like, it takes a style sheet, and we can change that and, like, put in, say, like, we want, like, terrain shading or, like, some additional features that, like, are in the database, but, like, OpenStreetMap, like, they don't, like, render on their site, but we could. So that's another way, like, we can, like, customize things for us. And so, like, yeah, it's, like, for OpenStreetMap, like, Averill will talk about this more, but it's, like, you can have, like, one set of these tiles for the whole globe that are generated, and then for each, like, we're going to have, like, ones for each language. But it's, like, each set of tiles, it takes, like, so much, like, disk space, and we're going to be limited, like, for now, or, I mean, there's limits to that, like, to have, like, the whole globe, like, for, like, one layer, or if you have like satellite imagery as another layer or something else, it's like there's only so many of those you can have, yet like provide the user with full like zooming and panning capabilities. And so like the idea is like for the custom app, so like maybe like we'll allow them to be automatically generated but like not have the full like panning and zooming capabilities. And then you can generate pretty much as many as we need. And so here's like the basic like workflow is you can have different types of base layers. Again, like OpenStreetMap could be like one choice, like if like a user wants that. Or you could have the satellite imagery such as Landsat, or you could have just like a simple political boundaries or like terrain shading, or maybe like we could provide a few more options, but like the number of base layers would be limited. And here's just an overview of like satellite imagery that's available and in the public domain. Landsat is like the big one, and it's available up to like 83 degrees north and 83 degrees south. And they're like, so if you get like way down to the South Pole, it's like there might be some things available, but it's like it's limited. But it's like 15 meters resolution, which is like, I mean, like Google Maps is like 1 meter or less than that, like when you look at their satellite imagery. But they buy it from a commercial provider. And so like Landsat, it would be pretty good, but then if you zoom down really far, it's like you're not gonna quite see your house or like cars or people or anything like that, but it's like pretty good for like what we want. And there's also like a data set called Blue Marble, where it was taken in 2004 from something called MODIS, which is operated by NOAA for like the weather, and it's like a true color like image of like the whole world, and it's like it's more like visually like sharp, but it's lower resolution. And then for like aerial imagery, like this is like pretty limited because like the U.S. government's like the only or one of few or the only that like puts it stuff in the public domain. But they have the Department of Agriculture has this data set, the National Aerial Photography Program, which covers like the whole United States now. And like with NASA, like I won't go into this too much, but they have something they've been developing called WorldWind, which is a software application like Google Earth, where it's like 3D and you can zoom in and all that, and it's like open source. And so like they provide like the Landsat, the Blue Marble, and they're also like working on providing the aerial photography for the whole U.S. Right now, like they have aerial photography just for like a limited number of large cities in the U.S., but like they'll have it all. And as it's in the public domain, and I've talked to them, and it's like if we want a copy of the data, it's like they'll send it over on like it'd be on like a hard disk that we could like have a copy of that and incorporate that into like our mapping that we're building. Like that won't happen right away because it's I think the Landsat and the Blue Marble together are 3-4 terabytes, which we could handle. It's a lot, but we can handle that. But if we wanted like the aerial photography for just the U.S., then it would be like 30 terabytes, which kind of it's possible, but I mean that's not trivial. So like that's going to be something like to do later. And so it's like this is like totally like basic right now, but like I'm working on like now that we have the map tool server up and running, just recently, like thinking about developing a map maker application that people could use to like make custom maps, like choosing a base layer here. You can choose like a satellite imagery or the boundaries or OpenStreetMap. And then the next thing is, this like part of it could be incorporated into the Slippy map extension, is where like you can zoom in through the open layers and it'll calculate the latitude and longitude and center point, and it'll calculate the zoom level. Which, like, without that, it's, like, I mean, like, I have no idea, like, what latitude and longitude we are here, and that doesn't make sense to most people, so, like, they need a tool like this. But this can also be used as part of, like, creating custom maps. And the rest of this I'm still working on, but, like, the types of map overlays, like, you can have well, there's something, a GIS standard out there called Web Map Service, which, like, NASA, like, provides some stuff. And that, NOAA does, and like other governments provide that, and it's like through data.gov, like you can get to these, and so you can get like live data sets from them, like where are the, the weather now, like the GO satellites, like show the cloud cover right now or every like hour or something like that. And like, I don't know how encyclopedic that would be, but maybe if there was a hurricane, then we would want that in the article about like the hurricane. And so we could have maps like that pulling in live data, or we could have like some, if you go to data.gov, some of the data sets are downloadable as like in one of the standard formats such as KML or shapefiles. So perhaps someday, like this is in the future, or it could work like the, like I know with the work of Michael Dale's been doing on the video where you can like go, by URL, you can upload a video from, say, like the Internet Archives up to Commons. So maybe we could have like a set number of like trusted places where, like we'll allow people to like by URL be able to upload like something from data.gov or from like the U.S. government. Upload like a KML file or a shapefile. I think that's like there's potential to do that, and. And then there's also like markers, which are like the locator maps, the dots on the map. Like OpenLayer supports all of those. So like having like building that into like the MapMaker application, like some options. And I think to start out, like I'm gonna, as prototyping this, I'm working on the earthquakes. The USGS provides a live feed of like the recent earthquakes, and so I would like to make like have an automatically updating map of like the recent earthquakes, and maybe I could stick that into the earthquake article or something. But like have like figure out like how to do that, the process for doing that, and then maybe add like some more like types of overlays that beyond just OpenStreetMap, like that. And how like MapNIC works, and how like some of the other like map software work is like you can have a style sheet. It can be in XML, and it would contain just the styling information. But like with this, I could also add in like the parameters such as the zoom level and other information about the map, and have a XML like style sheet or like. And it's like possible, like this could be like edited on the wiki maybe, or on the tool server, or some way to make it editable, like where people could change the styles or something. I would like to see that at some point, and then that's like way in the future. But and from like the style sheet, parse it in a way where okay, like so, like MapNIC could generate a static map, or like we could have an OpenLayers like interactive map where. Like it won't be full panning and zooming, but it can have like mouse overs where like you mouse over like a province, and then it'll show like a pop up with the like the numbers or something like that. OpenLayers can provide like that kind of interactivity, so like we might still want to like keep like interactive maps as well as like static maps as options, and then allow like the maps to be like put onto Commons for anybody to use, and. Another thing, like with OpenLayers, it does support like SVG or like vector format, so like it might be possible to, cause like we have like 270 some languages, so to be able to like make the maps where like they can be translated would be a nice thing to have. And then tie them to a live data set, like where it's applicable. So that's where I'm at. I'm like hoping like to get, have a lot of time to spend on this in the next like months, and have something more mature like available like to deploy on the tool server like soon. So I think Christian's next, but if you have any questions, yeah. Yeah. I can hear you, but
we're in an early stage already. look into possibilities to localize the tools that you make.
That's definitely like a priority.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like I'll come to your workshop, maybe it's this afternoon.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay, there is some public domain information available on the internet, or is it public domain but not so easily to access it?
Well, what information?
The layers information, coordinates, the photographs. You told about some public domain information that you got in data.gov.
Yeah, it's mostly like that for now, but it's like if other stuff's available, like
sorry?
Mainly like data.gov for now, because it's like that's from the US government. I know it's like all public domain, but if other sources are identified that we want, then I would be happy to include them. But like I think the point of like exercise at this point is just working out a prototype or a process like technically like to make this happen, and then once like some systems there technically, then it's like adding more data sets or custom things would be easy, I hope.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. I think